was outstanding. Praise the Lord. Not quite as good as I am on that mandolin and guitar, but I tell you, it does a pastor's heart good to see young people using their talents for the Lord Jesus Christ. It does a pastor's heart good to see middle-aged people using their talents for Jesus Christ. It does a pastor's heart good to see senior saints using their talents for Jesus Christ. Hey, as long as you've got breath, do something for God. Amen. I'm serious. Hey, you say, I can't do what I used to. Join the crowd. Neither can I. But God's given you life. Give it to Him and go forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. Brother Terry Edwards, bless your heart. The couple that was back again this morning, you weren't here when I made this announcement. Been coming for 2 or 3 weeks now. He used to come on your bus route, and they've been visiting the church in my Sunday school class for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And praise the Lord for it. He was asking about you. I said, we tried to get rid of him. He just won't leave, you know what I mean? But praise the Lord for it, and we're excited about that. The bus ministry still works, friends. As far as I'm concerned, as long as God gives us breath and we can put the tires on the bus, they're going to keep on trucking down the highways. That's the will of God, no doubt about it. And we appreciate what the Lord's doing. Exodus chapter 30 tonight. Exodus chapter 30. We've been preaching through the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. The Gospel of John is our book in the New Testament. We've come to the next passage in our Old Testament book. I almost said the Gospel of Exodus there, but it's the book of Exodus. We've come to a piece of furniture in the tabernacle that has been a blessing to study it. And I trust it'll be a blessing for you to hear it tonight. Exodus chapter 30, look at verse number 1. If you're keeping notes, I'm preaching down through verse 10. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon, of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, a cubit the breadth thereof, 4 square shall it be, and 2 cubits shall be the height thereof, the horns thereof shall be of the same. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, the sides thereof round about, the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And 2 golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the 2 corners thereof, upon the 2 sides of it shalt thou make it. They shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal, in other words, to carry it around. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. Thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereupon. Let me paraphrase. He's saying, I don't want any offerings offered on this. No burnt offerings. No meat offerings, no drink offerings. I want sweet incense coming up in the morning, sweet incense coming up in the evening for a perpetual offering. The word perpetual means continuous. Verse 10, Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. Most holy unto the Lord. The Word of God in this passage of Scripture is speaking about the altar of incense. And I've got my title here somewhere, I just don't know what verse it is. There it is, verse number 1. I lift my title from this verse, an altar to burn incense. An altar to burn incense. Let's pray together and we share this thought with you. Father, we love you tonight. Challenge us with these truths. And may you encourage our hearts and challenge our hearts tonight, I pray. Forgive my sin. Help me to be clean. May there be nothing, literally nothing, in my heart and mind that hinders you. Speak through me tonight. Speak to me tonight and do business with us. Forgive my sin, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In our progress through the tabernacle, as we study through this book together, We've come to a precious piece of furniture that was to be inside the tabernacle. You know it as the altar of incense. This altar was to be made of shittim wood, and as we've already studied a lot of these particular materials here, I'm just going to mention some of this. Shittim wood, acacia wood, if you will, was a picture of Christ's humanity. His perfect humanity, by the way, that he was all man, but yet he was the perfect man. And then when it's overlaid with pure gold, that's a picture of his deity. So you see the picture of Christ, because these articles of furniture are a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it's made of both wood overlaid with gold, humanity and deity, what a picture of the God-man. It was to have horns overlaid with gold, with a golden crown round about it. Two staves or rods, if you will, were made of shittim wood overlaid with gold to be placed in the golden rings to carry it everywhere that they went. This altar was to be placed before the veil that is by the Ark of Testimony. In other words, remember the two veils, one that went, that basically you entered the tabernacle, but then there was the inner veil where the mercy seat was, where the ark was, where the presence of God dwelt on top of the mercy seat. There was an inner veil, and right outside that inner veil, right in front of that inner veil, is where this altar of incense was to be placed. The only thing standing between the altar of incense and the presence of God was the veil. That was it. This altar, this made this the last piece of furniture that the high priest would come to before entering the Holy of Holies into the presence of God. Now, the placement of this altar of incense shows the importance of its symbolism, because everything is a symbol in the tabernacle, because the tabernacle is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He dwells with man. Now, even though it was the smallest piece of furniture, it was the smallest piece, its significance is absolutely humongous. This altar teaches us much about two things. It symbolizes, no doubt, this is the literal interpretation of it, it symbolizes the intercessory praying of Jesus Christ on behalf of sinful man. It pictures Christ praying for you, is what I'm saying. But then it can be applied to the praying of God's own people. Now, this being the case, this altar is a symbol, a type of prayer and communion with the Heavenly Father. Psalm 141 verse 2 says, "Let my prayer be set before thee as incense." Interesting, isn't it? In other words, the psalmist said here, "Let my prayer be before you as incense." And we're studying the altar of incense and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Luke chapter 1 verse 10. "And the whole multitude of people were praying without at the time of incense." Revelation 8, 3 and 4 says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, and he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." So you see the Word of God identifying incense with prayers and praying and communing with the Heavenly Father. J. Vernon McGee said, and I quote, "This is the great worship chapter. In looking at the first compartment of the tabernacle proper, the holy place, we see three articles of furniture and all speak of worship. We've already considered the lampstand, the golden candlestick, if you will, and the table of showbread, but there's also an altar there. It's the altar of incense." J. Vernon McGee says, "The table of showbread and the golden lampstand, the golden candlestick, typify God's people meeting and fellowshipping together, but the altar of incense is the place of prayer." Now, in our study tonight, I want to consider the altar of incense as giving two distinct pictures. I've already given them to you. The first picture has to do with Christ, who is the altar. He is the altar of incense. It has to do with His intercession for God's children. Along with this, we will apply this altar to the prayers of God's own children. Therefore, if you're a child of God, which most of you, maybe all of you are tonight, there are two major things that is my goal in this passage of Scripture. Number one, to encourage your heart in the intercessory prayers of Christ for you. It's a blessing to know that Jesus Christ is praying for me. And it should be a blessing to you to realize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, is praying for you. It ought to encourage you in this. But secondly, this message ought to challenge your own prayer life. May I put it this way? May it encourage our heart because He's praying for us, and may it challenge our heart in our prayer life. To help with this, let me give you two major thoughts with some thoughts underneath. Number one, let's look at the prayers of the Savior. The prayers of the Savior. The first major thing we will consider is how this altar is a picture, a type of the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of God's children. One person put it this way, when God gave His plans for the construction of the tabernacle, He filled the place with various articles that were absolutely rich with spiritual symbolism. Jesus can be seen in the tabernacle in every piece of it. The brazen altar speaks of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross for sinners. The veil reminds us that there is a great gulf between God and man that was dissolved at the cross by Jesus when he died and the veil was rent in two. The golden candlestick reminds us that Jesus Christ is the light of the world and He came to lead men out of darkness. Even the coverings of the tabernacle point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this person says the same is true with the golden altar of incense that we have read about tonight. In this piece of furniture, the Lord is seen in His ministry as our great high priest, the one who makes intercession for His people before the throne of His Father in heaven. Listen to these verses, Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore He, Jesus, is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Romans 8:34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Here's what it means. If you're saved tonight, you are secure because your high priest constantly, I'm talking about persistently, all the time, He is praying for His children. That's the altar of incense. Now, I want to give you a couple of things about His praying. As we consider the prayers of the Savior, Him interceding for you, Him interceding for His children, God's children, the Savior interceding for them, praying for them, pictured in the altar of incense here. Let me give you a couple of things about His praying. Number one under this is letter A, they are permitted prayers. You say, Jody, what do you mean? This is where we're going to start digging in here to these verses and show you what I'm talking about. See, a study of the incense, the altar of incense, shows how it was offered before the mercy seat. And in verse number 7, you'll notice it's identified as being sweet incense. It's sweet incense. You know what this shows us? This shows us that the incense that was made according to God's standards, the way that He had it made, that's later on, but you'll see there was a specific way that they were to make the incense. Every other way the Bible calls strange. It was strange incense. He said, don't offer strange incense. You offer this incense the way I'm commanding it. And if it's made up of the right things that God commands, then God says when I smell it, it's a sweet smell. It smells sweet to me. See, the word sweet here tells me that when this incense was offered like this and it came off of this golden altar and it had the right ingredients, it was made up of the right things, then God was pleased with it. It was pleasant unto Him. You know, it's a blessing tonight to realize that every prayer that the Son of God prays is a sweet odor in the nostrils of His Heavenly Father. It's a blessing to consider how the prayers of the Savior are accepted. They are permitted. They are sweet before the Heavenly Father. By the way, this should encourage our hearts because if you're saved, He's praying for you, and His prayers are always heard. We're studying through the Gospel of John, and we're approaching chapter 11. We're not quite there yet, but we're approaching chapter 11, which is the story of the raising of Lazarus. And you'll notice in that story that once he goes to the tomb, he begins to pray. And here's what he says in John 11, 41 and 42. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, talking about Lazarus. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, he's praying, he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And here's what he said. And I know that thou hearest me always. That's what he said. He said this. He began to pray at the tomb of Lazarus, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man who was standing on planet Earth, and he said, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you hear me always. You know, there are times I pray that my prayers probably don't get answered because of sin in my life or something that I asked that I shouldn't have asked for. You understand what I'm saying to you? But every prayer that Jesus Christ prays is always sweet, always pleasant, always right, and always heard. You say, Jody, how should this help me? How could it not help you? Because he's praying for his children. He intercedes for his children. And let me ask you a question. Why are his prayers heard? Why are they always sweet? And why, when he prays for you as a sinful man or woman, does his Father listen to him? Why? Let me give you three things right from these verses. Number one, under this, if you're keeping notes with me, this is Roman number one, the prayers of the Savior. Letter A, they are permitted. Number one, why are they permitted? Why are they heard? Why are they sweet when Christ prays for sinful man? Well, number one under this, because of his association. You say, Jody, what's that mean? I get this in verses 1 to 5. I'm just going to refer you to the verses because I've already read it. You can be reading them if you want while I'm explaining what I'm trying to get across here. But again, you remember this altar was made of wood and gold. And as I've already said in the introduction, this again is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being both man and God. Now, I can't explain this, but it's just what the Bible teaches. He was all man, he was all God. He was not half and half, he was 100-100. He was not half man and half God, he was all man and all God. I can't explain it, he's God. But I know this, because God became a man, now the Heavenly Father will hear the prayers of the God-man. Because he's associated with God, and he's associated with sinful man. See, because God became a man, God the Father will always listen to the prayers of his Son who became a man to bring man to him. I don't know if that makes sense what I'm trying to say to you. But what I'm saying to you is this. His prayers are always permitted because he became man. And he's associated with God and man. He's all God, he's all man. And when he prays, God the Father listens because he's associated with both. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Why is his prayer permitted for sinful man? Why does God the Father listen to the Son when he prays for man? Because his Son became man, you see. His association. But secondly, because of his accordance. Now you say, Jody, what's that mean? Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, ye shall offer no strange incense thereon. No strange incense. In other words, the Lord had a specific will for the makeup of the incense that was to be offered. Now get this. Anything other than what God commanded was considered strange and therefore not accepted.
Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2 explains this, where it says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." And you say, "Jody, what's the point you're trying to get across here? His accordance. In other words, his submission. May I put it that way?" You say, what's the point? Okay, God the Father hears him because he's associated with both God and man. He understands both, okay? But God the Father will listen to him because he never offers strange incense. What does that mean? That means he never prays anything that is not his Father's will to answer. He will never pray anything that's not in total agreement with his Heavenly Father's will. Everything he prays for his children is for our good and God's glory. Everything. Have you ever prayed for anything that you look back on it and at the time you wanted God to say yes, but he said no, and you look back and say, "Thank you, God, for not answering that at that time"? You ever had that happen? Amen or not tonight? Yes? Jesus never prays a prayer like that. Never. He always prays according to the Father's will. Always. That's where I get his accordance. He prays in accordance to his Father's will. Everything he prays about, his Father's pleased with it. I like that prayer request. I agree with that prayer request. By the way, I'm going to apply this to us here momentarily. Why does God the Father listen to the prayers of God the Son when he intercedes for sinful man? Because of who he is, he's the God-man. Because of how he prays in accordance to his Father's will. And then number three, because of his atonement. You say, "Jody, what's this mean?" Look at verse number 10. "And Aaron shall make atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of the atonements." You know, I studied this. When I saw this, it was like, glory to God. You'll notice in verse number 9, he says, "Don't offer any burnt sacrifice, don't offer any meat offerings, don't pour any drink offerings." But in verse 10, he says, "Bring the blood of the sin offering and put it on the altar." He's saying, don't kill another animal that's already been killed. But you bring the blood from that slain animal and you put it on this altar. And when you do, it smells sweet to me. What's he saying here? It's interesting to note how the altar of incense had the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Where was that sin offering slain? On the burnt offering. On the burnt, I'm talking about the burnt offering, the brazen altar. What's the brazen altar a picture of? Calvary. Judgment. Bloodshed. And here's what God the Father saying, "Hey, when you make the altar of incense, you make all the ingredients according to my will. You make sure when it ascends, it's something that pleases me. And you make sure it comes off the altar that is both wood and gold. And you make sure before you ever rise the incense that you take a trip to the brazen altar. And you grab the blood, not the sacrifice. It's been killed. It's been slain. But the evidence is there. The blood has been shed. Bring the blood of the burnt sacrifice and come to the altar and start anointing it. Start making atonement on it. Atone the altar." What's the point here? The point here is the reason why God the Father always hears the prayers of the interceding of Christ is because he was slain on Calvary. And when he comes and brings sinful man into the presence of Almighty God, what he does is he prays according to God's will. He's the God-man. And he says, "Father, I know he's a sinner. I know she's a sinner. but I died for him, and here's my blood. And I'm pleading not for him, but because of my blood, will you hear me? And will you take care of him? And will you manifest yourself to him? And when you show him my glory one of these days, you may tell you why God the Son's prayers are answered. Because he has atoned for sinful man. His prayers are heard because of his shed blood on Calvary. God the Father always hears the prayers of God the Son. One man said it this way. This in figure tells us that our great high priest pleads no blessings which his blood has not purchased, and asks pardon from divine justice for no sin for which he has not atoned. One man said the service at the golden altar was dependent on the sacrifice at the brazen altar. The prayer acceptable to God is based on the blood of the sacrifice. What a blessing to realize the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ are permitted. They are heard. They are accepted because he is associated with both God and man. He knows both because he is both. He always prays in accordance to the will of the Heavenly Father, and his shed blood pleads his case as he prays. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friends. That's enough to stir you a little bit inside. That God the Son is praying for you. If you're saved, the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. You know what that means? That means right now he's praying for you. Right now. Right now he's living to intercede for you. And his praying is permitted because he's the God-man, and he always prays in accordance to the will of the Heavenly Father, and he pleads on the basis of his sacrifice and his shed blood. Number two, it's not only permitted, secondly, it's perpetual. This is a word that I really didn't want to use, but it's a Bible word. It's in verses 7, I don't know what verse it is here. Let's look at verse 4, 5, 7, and 8. It says, "And two golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the two corners thereof, upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear it withal. Thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold." In other words, here's what he's saying. I want you to make rings on this altar. And I want you to make some rods to put in those rings. Because when the tabernacle moves, take it with you. Take it everywhere you go. Look at verse number 7. "And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, He shall burn incense on it." Here it is, a perpetual, there's the word, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. He's saying this: every morning incense should be coming, every evening incense should be rising. Every morning, every evening, every morning, every evening, everywhere you go, take it with you. Don't leave it behind. It goes everywhere you go in the morning and at night. You make sure the incense is rising. You make sure it's constantly coming my way. This is what he's saying, and he's saying it's to be a perpetual sacrifice. That word perpetual there, it means continuous or constant. The point being, the altar of incense was to be in constant use. It was to have incense coming off of it. There was not a day that the incense was not to be used. And this is a beautiful picture of how the Lord Jesus Christ constantly, perpetually, persistently, faithfully prays on behalf of God's children. Hebrews 7:25 again says, "Wherefore he is able to save him to the uttermost that cometh unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Romans 8:34, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh," that's present tense, "maketh intercession for us." See, the first thing we see about the altar of incense is how it pictures the intercessory prayers of the Savior, the prayers of the Christ, the prayers of the Savior. And in this, we're studying these verses together and how his prayers are permitted. They are heard. They are accepted. Because in these verses, it was to be made both of wood and gold. He's the God-man. There was to be no strange incense. It was just to be made exactly the way that God told him to make it. And every prayer he offered had nothing strange in it. It's always in accordance to the will of his heavenly Father. And the blood from the brazen altar where the sacrifice was slain was to be brought and to be and to atone for this altar, to anoint this altar. So as the incense came, the blood was pleading its case. And that incense was to be carried with them everywhere they go. And every morning and every evening, the incense was to be rising. What a beautiful picture of the Lord. That he is the God-man who ever prays according to God's holy, precious will. And he prays on the basis of his shed blood. And every morning and every evening and everywhere you go, he's praying for you. And he's pleading your case. This brings me to my second thought, and this is a thought of application. And that is, number one, the prayers of the Savior. But number two, what about the prayers of the saints? While the altar is a wonderful picture of the intercessory prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can also apply this altar to the prayers of God's children. If you're saved, by means of application, you can learn some things from this altar. The Word of God is very clear to this fact. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The prayers of God's children are identified as coming from off the altar. I think I've already read this, but I'll read it again in Revelation 8, 3 and 4. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. I don't understand all that. But the angel was standing at the altar having a golden censer. And he was offering incense along with the prayers of the saints. And that incense and the prayers of the saints were ascending up to the very throne room of God. You know, the Lord spoke to my heart in this passage. Not just with how the Lord Jesus intercedes for me, but he spoke to my heart and how the prayers of the saints, my prayers, are to follow the prayers of the Savior. How are we to pray? How does God want us to pray? I submit to you, he wants us to pray in the exact way that the Son of God prays. Do you understand that the exact ways that summarizes the intercessory prayer of Jesus Christ should be the exact ways that you and I pray tonight? So I repeat, but just apply in a different way, the prayers of the saints are to be permitted prayers. Are his prayers permitted? Yes. And he wants your prayers to be too. But may I say this to you? If they are going to be permitted prayers, they must follow his example. Why does God the Father hear the prayers of Jesus Christ? Because of his identity, who he is. He's the God-man. And if your prayers are going to be permitted, they'll be offered in his name. In his identity. Based on the God-man. And if your prayers are going to be permitted, they'll have to be in accordance to the will of the Father, just like his is. In other words, friends, listen to me. We're human beings, and every now and then we pray things that are not in accordance to the will of the Father. Every now and then we pray things, and maybe we think it's right, whatever the case may be, but our prayers do not receive a yes. They may receive a no, and that's an answer, by the way. But I'm talking about they may not receive a favorable answer, and the reason being is because what we prayed was never in the will of the Father. The will of God and the Word of God agree to this. If you're going to have your prayers permitted, they must be prayed in the name of Jesus Christ, the God-man. And they must be prayed in accordance to the will of the Heavenly Father. John 14:13 says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." 1 John 5, 14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that He desired of Him, that we desired of Him. The Son of God's intercessory prayers are permitted because He's the God-man and His identity. Our prayers will only be permitted and sweet and heard and accepted if they're offered in His name according to His will. And then third, remember, His prayers are permitted because they're offered on the basis of His shed blood. And I submit to you that our prayers can only be permitted to God if we are praying from a saved heart, an atoned heart, and our sins have been forgiven. See, we see the truth of how only God's children whose sins have been atoned for can approach God with accepted, permitted prayer. This is seen in the truth of the blood from the brazen altar being applied to the altar of incense. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He heareth the prayer of the righteous. One man said the priest alone offered incense at the golden altar, and only the members of the priestly family could offer incense to God. This was the great sin of the king Uzziah, remember, because King Uzziah offered incense in the place of the priest in the Old Testament. He was a king, but he was not a priest. And he did what was strictly forbidden. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 18 says, "And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the son of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God." Because of his great sin, even though he was a king, but he was not a priest, Uzziah left a leper, you remember. And the emphasis there is only priests can offer incense. But if you're saved today, you've been made a priest before the Lord God of heaven. And the service of prayer is reserved for the family of faith. The blood on the horns of the altar of incense testifies that the power of prayer is based on the offering of Christ for sin. The blood of the cross of Christ, which has been poured out once for all, is the basis for accepted prayer to God. Prayer of the saints offered in Christ's name, in accordance to God's will and based on the shed blood, are sweet-smelling incense before the Lord. But secondly, it's not only should be permitted prayer, secondly, it should be perpetual prayer. Just as the altar of incense went everywhere they went, and every morning and evening the incense was to be rising to God the Father, God tells His children in His Word that we are constantly, perpetually to be offering prayers. The emphasis is how it's important for God's children to be faithful in prayer. One man said the provision of the staves for the altar made it possible for Israel to take it with them wherever they went. There are no limitations set on prayer. God's people can always pray wherever they are. The Hebrews prayed in Egypt. Moses prayed on a mountaintop. David prayed at night on his bed. Jonah prayed from the depths of the grave. The Syrophoenician woman prayed on the street. Zacharias prayed in the temple. The prodigal son prayed in the pigsty. Jesus prayed on a cross. Lydia prayed by the riverside. Peter prayed while trying to walk on water. Paul and Silas prayed in a Philippian jail. John prayed on the Isle of Patmos. Everywhere you go, God can hear your prayers if they're prayed in accordance to His will, in the name of His Son, and based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Luke 18:1, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray always. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Psalm 55:17, evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. He shall hear my voice. One man said, our prayer life is the thermometer of our inner life. In reference to the placement of the altar of incense, it being placed right outside the inner veil, right outside of the mercy seat. A man said in reference to that, God counts prayer as something so valuable that He places it nearest Himself. Because may I say this to you? There is no veil any longer. And if you turn to Hebrews chapter 9, don't turn to it, but something interesting is brought out. In the Old Testament, The altar of incense is not in the Holy of Holies. It's outside the veil. But you turn to the book of Hebrews and the Bible says the altar of incense is in the Holy of Holies. Is that a contradiction? No. But I like what, J. Vernon McGee said. He said the reason that it's now in the Holy of Holies and it's not outside the veil is because the Old Testament was talking about the article, the piece of furniture, and there was a veil hanging, but now the veil's been taken out and the altar is in the presence of God. The altar's not a piece of furniture. The altar's Jesus, friends. And the altar was right at the mercy seat. God is showing the importance of this piece of furniture. This man went on to say the placement of the altar before the mercy seat shows how close God comes to the worshiper in prayer. The psalmist said in Psalm 145, 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. Moses said, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for in Deuteronomy 4, 7. Prayer brings the believer right into the presence of God. The act of prayer is as near to heaven as man can get on earth. One man said, Abraham prayed and the day of doom for Sodom and Gomorrah was postponed. Joshua prayed and the sun stood still. Elijah prayed and fire fell from heaven. Hezekiah prayed and 15 years were added to his life. Daniel prayed and the lions lost their appetite. The early church prayed and Peter got out of jail. The prayer of power in heaven is the one of Christ with the names of believers on his lips. In other words, the prayer of power is him praying for sinful man. But the prayer of power on earth is the one of the believer with the name of Christ on his lips. The powerful prayer is the name of believers on the lips of Jesus Christ in heaven. But on earth, powerful prayer is the name of Jesus Christ on sinful man's lips. And the fact of the matter is we've been privileged to be able to offer incense that God the Father says that smells pretty good. Thank God for the altar of incense. This altar encourages our heart that the Lord is praying for us with permitted and perpetual prayer. This altar challenges our heart that we are to have prayer lives that are permitted and perpetual in the name of Jesus Christ according to the will of the Father and based on His shed blood. And as we come to a close, let me just remind you here and leave you with a final thought about this altar. The altar being placed before the mercy seat of God is a picture that the only reason the Lord prays for us and the only reason that we can pray to God is because of the magnificent mercy of our great God. One man said the child of God needs to remember that he has done nothing to merit God's favor. Believers are permitted to ask and are privileged to receive because of a merciful God. In other words, when you think and meditate on the altar of incense, don't forget where it was sitting, where it was seated, where it was placed. And it was placed right in front of the mercy seat. Therefore, as we close, thinking about our own prayer life, Humility is the proper attitude at the place of prayer. May we never come to God proud, boastful, and arrogant. May we come to God with grateful hearts, bowing to Him in the name of Jesus Christ, praying prayers that are in accordance to the will of the Father, and pleading our case through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when you pray prayers like that,
things happen and things take place. And may the Lord help us to rejoice tonight in the altar of incense. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, I pray for this service. And I pray for this thought. Thank you for the altar of incense and for what it teaches us. What a picture of Jesus Christ. Praying permitted prayers, perpetual prayers. Have you tonight say, Jody, I'm glad that I can say with a surety that Jesus Christ is praying for me. What I mean by that is He only prays intercessory prayers for His children. The Lord, the Christ, the Son of God is interceding for the children of God, those who have the blood applied. And have you know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is praying for you? Would you raise your hand? You know that He's praying for you? As they begin to play through soft, if they wouldn't mind, isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that? Isn't it good to be able to raise your hand knowing that Jesus Christ is praying for you? Have you tonight say, Jody, I'm carrying a heavy burden. I really am. God knows what it is. There's a heavy burden I'm carrying. God knows what it is. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about that. Well, that's a lot of you. I want to remind you, He ever liveth to make intercession for you. He's praying for you. Why don't you just come and thank Him? Say, thank you, Jesus, that you're praying for me. You don't even have to wait until we start singing. Come now. Come on now. And just say, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Or maybe tonight God is challenging you about your own prayer life. Maybe tonight He's taken this thought of the altar of incense about having permitted prayers in His name according to His will based on His shed blood. And maybe He's saying, you know, you need to have prayers that are permitted. You've been praying something that's not according to my will. Or maybe tonight God's talking to you about just being a little bit more perpetual in your prayer life. A little bit more constant, persistent, faithful. I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. Some have already responded, but as he sings tonight, if you want to come and pray, do it. Would you do it? As he sings, you come now. Would you please?
Have thine own way, Lord.
There's time for you. Come on.
Have thine own way.
Talk to God.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay.
How's your prayer life?
Hold me and make.
Is God listening to you?
After thy will.
Is the Father hearing your prayers?
While I am with.
Are your prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, the God-man? Are your prayers in accordance to the will of God, and are your prayers based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ? How many tonight say, Jody, there's something special I've been praying about for a long time? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. Something I've been praying about for a long time. You got your hand raised, you can lower it, but I want you to listen to me. If you're praying in accordance to God's will, and that is really something in the name of Jesus Christ, and you can truly plead the blood of Christ, and you know it's in accordance to His will, you just keep on praying, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. He did not promise to answer you tomorrow. He did not promise to answer you today. He did not promise to answer you in a year, but He did promise to answer you. But it's on His timetable, not yours. But what we all need to do is make sure that our prayers line up with the golden altar of incense, you see. We need to make sure that our prayers are sweet incense. Make sure our prayers smell good to the Father. Make sure they're based on the God-man and based on His shed blood and according to His precious will. And realize that it's only by God's mercy that He even listens to us. May the Lord help us with this. Amen. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ, love to take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Don't leave without letting us have the opportunity to do that. And as we leave tonight, you can look this way.
teens are to see Brother Bob to pick up your new devotional booklet. Church family, please pick up your t-shirt tonight in the men's classroom if you've not already done so. And I remind the shut-ins and nursing home ministry, let me go ahead and dismiss you now. May I do that? And you're going to the blue room, all shut-ins and nursing home, going to that ministry meeting. You can be dismissed right now, please, okay? If you're going to that meeting, I'll give you a head start. Thank you for your service in those particular ministries. And let's all stand together, please. We'll be dismissed in prayer, okay? I'm going to ask Brother Todd Harless. Brother Todd, if you'll stand and lead us in a word of prayer, I appreciate it tonight. Thank you.